These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs, crack on.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how did the CEO of one of Ireland's top kids' gaming apps come back from a near liquidation event to sell the firm for over 20 million euro?
Really difficult time. We were downsizing, letting people go, and an email arrived in from Lego. We're working on a new project. Would you be interested in pitching for it? And critically, we will pay you to participate in this process.
The extraordinary story of Emmett O'Neill, CEO of Story Toys. The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
Is Stokes. Phil Stokes. Well, that's brilliant play by Anthony Stokes. Outstanding finishing. Hibs are back in level terms. And the stadium once again.
Today on the Indo Daily, Anthony Stokes, the ex-Ireland and Celtic star who's been arrested twice in 3 weeks.
Republic of Ireland and Celtic footballer appeared in Dublin District Court this afternoon facing charges of assault. Anthony Stokes
was meant to be the next big name in Irish football. He joined Arsenal as a teenager and was brought to Sunderland at age 18 by none other than Roy Keane.
And it's Stokes who gets his first ever Premier League goal. Roy Keane has something to smirk about.
Throughout my career, there's always been off the field issues. There has been bits and pieces, but I just hope they judge me on the pitch and my performances.
Stalking charges, close associations with real IRA figures, and a nightclub fight brought him from the back pages to the front pages.
Footballer Anthony Stokes has been ordered to pay €230,000 in damages to an Elvis Presley impersonator he assaulted in a Dublin nightclub almost 4 years ago.
Now Stokes is back facing the courts again in relation to driving and drug charges.
Off the field issues, you know, and I think a lot of the times they can be blown out of proportion as well. And that's my personal life, that's for me to deal with.
I'm Kevin Doyle, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by the Irish Independent football correspondent Dan McDonald and Niall Donald, who is a regular fixer on our Crime World podcast, to take a look at the footballer's career and where it all went wrong. Niall Donald, we're doing a podcast around a soccer player, an international footballer who's been at a string of clubs across the UK. And yet I find myself with the deputy editor of the Sunday World sitting in front of me.
Yeah, I suppose Anthony Stokes is, over the last 10 years, has graced both the front pages and the back pages of the Sunday World, which is probably not where sports people want to be, in the front pages of the Sunday World, in all fairness. But of course, he's back in the news this week. Anthony Stokes was arrested on more driving charges earlier this week at 3 a.m. He was arrested on suspicion of dangerous driving after a Garda chase, a 20-minute Garda chase is what it's been described as. And of course, he's due up in court later this week. That was his four separate driving charges, and also in relation to alleged drug offences. So he's been arrested twice in 3 weeks after being chased by Gardaí, which is not something that every Irish international can say.
And of course, all of that has to go to court, and that'll play out in the legal system. Will decide what charges might sit. But Dan McDonald, Anthony Stokes, we should probably be talking about him alongside names like Damien Duff and Robbie Keane, because he was once seen as having that potential. And I think people often forget, because he ends up on the front pages, the string of clubs that he's been at has been pretty impressive.
Like, even when you hear the name Anthony Stokes, for me, like, you're initially sort of transported back to just hearing that name going around in your head as this player that's coming up. Like, you know, if you're following football in this country, there are these names that you hear about them long before you see them on the pitch. You know, that people involved, immersed in the schoolboy scene, talk about these players that, you know, they could be 12, 13 and already there's a buzz around them. There's a couple that spring to mind, like Robbie Brady would have been one. Evan Ferguson, who's like the man of the moment now, again, would have been talked about at a very, very young age. And Anthony Stokes was very much in that category, viewed as potentially you know, the best schoolboy footballer some people had ever seen in Dublin.
Well, where did it all begin?
Well, he would have played, like, when he came to prominence, really, he was playing underage with Shelburne. And at that point, this was the time where, you know, you'd have the English clubs coming to the door, et cetera, et cetera. He had his choice of wherever he wanted to go. Manchester United and Arsenal were the top two in the Premier League at that time. You're talking the early 2000s. He went for Arsenal. Liam Brady was over the Arsenal Academy at the time. A lot of promising young footballers from Ireland were going to Arsenal at that stage. And Stokes was very much the one everyone wanted and was almost waiting for. His reputation preceded him before he even kicked the ball in a football pitch as an adult. Like 2006, Stokes goes on loan from Arsenal to Falkirk, scores a lot of goals. You know, he's picking up young sports star awards. He's given interviews. He's quite articulate. You know, speaking with a bit of perspective. He had a column in the Irish Daily Star. You know, a weekly column about, our boy in Scotland, and they were clearly very much of the perspective, you know, this is the guy we need to follow. We're going to be following him over the next 10 to 15 years, and. This was the beginning. You know, he looked exceptionally good. A lot of the attributes as a kid, good with both feet, you know, just very naturally gifted footballer, makes it look very easy on a good day. And you're thinking, okay, there was a slight concern at that stage that the Arsenal thing didn't quite seem to be happening, you know, that they were willing maybe to let him outside the door. And then that sort of rings, mini alarm bell. But then there's this real buzz around him in Scotland. Celtic are watching him. He obviously ends up there later. But Roy Keane is going to watch him, who has taken over at Sunderland, the big Irish invasion at Sunderland. And Roy Keane goes to Arsenal and pays the money to bring Anthony Stokes to a Premier League club. And we think, OK, this is the next step.
And this is a fantastic move for him. And let's be honest, I know Roy Keane's managerial career may not be the best part of his CV, but it was a huge deal at the time, and it was the Irish supporting the Irish. And Roy Keane doesn't suffer fools.
Well, no, I think in hindsight, you would have to say that someone with Anthony Stokes, who would maybe have a sort of a questionable history as regards discipline, ending up in a Roy Keane dressing room possibly wasn't the best marriage. And you can always talk about sliding doors moments for all sorts of players. And you know, would a more sympathetic figure at that stage, would things have turned out differently? I think that sometimes can be generous to the player too. But Anthony Stokes went to Sunderland. He had the sort of the dyed blonde hair, the highlights, the bit of the look, that footballer swagger about him, which is fine if you're doing well. But then if you're struggling and you have a situation where the odd issue towards the end as regards, you know, timekeeping, discipline. I mean, Anthony Stokes gets banned from a nightclub called The Glass Spider.
That's it. Tell us about the lifestyle that he started to engage at.
I mean, a slight issue you would have in football in terms of players going to the northeast of England, without meaning to like cast aspersions on an entire area, is that there's not a huge amount to do. You know, and that this has always been a problem actually over the years of players at Sunderland and Newcastle. You know, the social life up there is quite vibrant. The clubs are a massive deal in the community. If you play for Sunderland, you are a big celebrity in that area, and you go out for a couple of drinks, you get spotted. There's traps that they fall into, and Anthony Stokes fell into those traps, you know, in the sense of just enjoying the social life and being caught and being snapped. And again, like, in some ways a lot of this stuff is trivial in terms of what we're going to talk about. Like, this is almost nothing. This is in fact just like the classic growing pains of any professional footballer with a lot of money at a young age. Some people handle it and can sort of cope with the distractions, some people don't, and he did sort of fall foul of some of those traps. But again, in the greater scheme of things, that you were just thinking, well, this is just a young lad who's a bit daft. You know,
would any of us be any better?
How would we have handled that situation? Yeah. He had some good times at Celtic, but possibly never really got back to the heights of that time at Falkirk and that buzz, and yeah, that he suddenly developed that little bit of reputation that can follow you.
So he gets a third chance, though. Arsenal was the first chance. Sunderland was the second big chance. Celtic is the third big chance. And in fairness, he had quite a bit of success at Celtic. But Niall, It was around that time, in kind of from 2010 onwards, that he also started to hear his name pop up. Probably not stuff you could write in the paper at the time, but he starts to get into trouble or mix with the wrong people, you could say.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you remember back at the time, in around 2010, a long, complicated story that we won't go into, but basically the Real IRA in Dublin started to put a lot of pressure on people involved in drug dealing and in other crime. And some of these Real IRA people, including Alan Ryan, who was described as the head of the Real IRA at the time, were spending a lot of their time in the Players' Lounge in Fairview, which was run by Anthony Stokes' father, John. And that became a place in which there was a shooting occurred as this tension grew and grew. There was an innocent doorman in the Players' Lounge was shot. He had nothing to do with paramilitary activity or anything like that. As this kind of a feud with a gang from the Ballyfermot area got out of control. And John Stokes, Anthony Stokes' father, describes himself as a Republican, famously put up a banner saying the Queen was barred from the Players' Lounge in 2011 when she was due to come over. And Anthony Stokes was associating with these people, Alan Ryan and these guys. Ultimately, Alan Ryan was shot dead by a drugs gang. There was a commemoration was held for him in a bar in Crumlin. I was actually there myself in a Jeep taking pictures as some of these Real IRA guys went into it. Some of these were very, very serious criminals, very heavily involved in paramilitary activity, involved in murders. And Anthony Stokes also appeared at that event and ultimately appeared in a social media picture. So Anthony Stokes obviously knew the Ryans in particular, but it didn't go down well with Celtic at the time. It became maybe an even bigger issue over there.
Neil Lennon was the manager at the time and gave him a slap on the wrist, I think, for it. He said he learned his lesson, but he was clearly very unhappy about the press that it brought down on Celtic and the questions.
Yes, and there was also in a simultaneous time, he was reportedly, Anthony Stokes turned up worse for wear at a training session. I suppose with the history of Celtic and you know, they've run a lot of campaigns against sectarian chants and all of that, and Neil Lennon's also his own past, you know, it didn't ring well for them. Now, Anthony Stokes would ultimately stay in touch with the Ryans, and we had pictures of him in the Sunday World on holidays with them together. Obviously, Alan Ryan was shot dead. Then Vinnie Ryan, his brother, who was also on that holiday, would be shot dead.
And so, he wasn't ashamed of that relationship. But we'll come back to some more of that in a second. Around the same time, Dan, I want to talk about his Ireland career, because quite famously, he essentially walked out on Giovanni Trapattoni in around 2011, didn't he?
Yeah, so this is it overlaps, and he would have been at Celtic at this stage. His Irish career, to me, it's almost like it didn't happen. It was possibly more of a style issue, in the sense that maybe how he played as a footballer, how he operated, was never likely to really fit into a Trapattoni team. And I think Stokes possibly would have known that, but he was around squads and not playing. And then it came to a point in 2011 where there was actually a lot of issues that summer with players pulling out for various reasons. And Stokes was one of those.
There was a great quote from Trapattoni when he was asked about this and he was complaining, and he basically said in his day, this sort of play acting didn't go on. But there was, if you're asked by the national team, they must go. If they're in hospital or they're dead, then that's okay. But if there's an injury, they need to come and see our doctor. I just thought that was like classic Trapattoni, but that's the place Anthony Stokes pitched himself against this guy who, at the time, to be fair, I know the football wasn't particularly pretty, but Trapattoni had the backing of the Irish people at that
stage. Yeah, 2011, very much so. And that was it as well. And like Trap, I think once you cross him like that, you're not seen again in that context.
Nine caps, I think, in total. But part of that, Niall, then, was probably all the other things he had going on, because talk to me about 2013, two big incidents that year, one being the link with the Johnny Mad Dog Adair, and the other being a row with an Elvis impersonator.
The row with the Elvis impersonator probably sums up Anthony Stokes in a sense, because it seems to have been a row over nothing in a pub and temple bar in June 2013. It seems to be somebody spilled a drink, nothing in particular, something silly. The victim ultimately describes it as, the victim was a guy called Anthony Bradley, a well-known Elvis impersonator. And Anthony Stokes headbutted him, breaking his teeth, leaving him with very, very serious injuries after, you know, he seems to have been a row over spilled drink, and Anthony Stokes came out of nowhere and attacked him in an unprovoked way. It took a while to get to court, as these things do, but ultimately he was convicted of assault.
Blackburn Rovers and Republic of Ireland player Anthony Stokes was given a suspended sentence at the Circuit Criminal Court earlier this month. The 28-year-old had pleaded guilty to what his own lawyers described as a nasty and cowardly assault.
He sustained very, very serious injuries, and I suppose you could look back on it and think that this was a kind of an example of just very, very self-destructive behaviour. I mean, Anthony Stokes at this time is obviously hanging around with people that most people wouldn't, but to describe him as a serious criminal, that wouldn't be the case. It's this chaotic sort of behaviour.
At the same time, the victim in that case eventually actually sued him in the civil courts as well, yeah. And the judge ordered a payout of over €200,000. That's a hefty payout.
Yeah, and as you know yourself, you get the payout in these compensation cases. It's based on the injuries you receive. Like, he obviously suffered a broken nose and other injuries, but he also seems to have affected a back injury that he had. It actually stopped him working. He's a very honest guy, actually, Anthony Bradley. He's spoken to various papers over the years. He's actually spoken about forgiving Anthony Stokes and all of this. But, you know, he seems to have really, really had a devastating impact on his life. And as these things can, these sort of random attacks out of nothing, ultimately, he brought him to court. Anthony, he still hasn't got his money, is what the point decade later. And obviously, in order to recover that money, and because it's a civil case, it's not mandated by the state as such, he'd have to pursue it. I doubt Anthony Stokes has the money to hand over at this stage. And obviously, Anthony Stokes spent the next few years after the conviction outside of the country.
Well, let's talk about some of his utterances. I mentioned the Johnny Mad Dog Adair, yeah. Very, very briefly.
Yeah, I mean, he popped up in a very serious court case. A guy called Antoine Duffy, who would have been a very dangerous and feared dissident Republican. He was, at the time, he was on trial for an attempted plot to murder Johnny Mad Dog Adair and another very serious loyalist called
Sam McCrory,
who died recently, actually. So in the run-up to this, MI5 bugged this guy, Antoine Duffy. Antoine Duffy was trying to buy an AK-47 to carry out this double murder. And during the bug conversations Antoine Duffy had with his girlfriend, he spoke about attempting to meet Anthony Stokes in a pub. You know, he was trying to get a message, the court heard, to his father. So it was a kind of this is in the Brazen Head pub in Glasgow in 2013. Obviously, this is just a one-sided bug conversation. The Stokes can't be blamed for that. You know, anybody can say anything, and obviously nothing arose from it. It's fair to say that some of this conversation may have been motivated by the fact that the Stokes were known to Alan Ryan and people like that in Dublin.
But not where you want your name to be dragged into if you're a pretty successful footballer. Let's get more recent, Niall, because in 2019 he admitted carrying out, I think what can be fairly well described as, I'm sure for the victim here, a terrifying stalking campaign against an ex-girlfriend.
People talk about Anthony Stokes, people that I know him, and they describe him as kind of an idiot and maybe sort of suggesting he's harmless. But I suppose the more sinister side comes out in this court case in 2019 when he was banned from contacting his former partner and her mum and handed a 4-year non-harassment order, which is not something we have here, but it's basically he admitted stalking and he wasn't allowed to contact them. Initially, the sentence was deferred, but he seems to have continued to breach it and continued to send abusive messages. You know, send messages to her mother. Ultimately, he didn't appear in his most recent court case in connection with it, and a warrant was issued for his arrest by a Scottish court. Anthony Stokes obviously not in Scotland anymore. So it seems like those two women went to court repeatedly, gave very clear evidence and spoke about the damage and the how much they suffered from it. And it is a sinister thing, I think.
Dan, in recent years, he has been playing not in Ireland, not in Scotland, not in the UK, but in much further afield.
Yeah, he went on the circuit, you know, which players sometimes go on, where you sort of go.
We call it nowadays the Ronaldo circuit.
Well, it's a sort of, this is the more off-Broadway version of it to some extent. He had a time in Greece. I think in particular, like these short-lived stints in Iran, which preceded the lockdown. You had two different goals there. Club football there is huge, like, you know, massive crowds, big money going around the place. But all of these moves seem to be in various ways short-lived, issues over him not returning back from scheduled breaks and so on. And really, you step back from it and they are probably consistent with the actions of someone who is maybe not in the best place financially relative to, you know, where you might expect given where they've played across their career. It was clear that he had to make career decisions financially at that stage rather than football related matters. So yeah, he went off on a sort of a path from which it's very rare that it ends with your football career being rehabilitated at that point. I mean, he in recent years, I think last year there was talk of him then linking up with Shamrock Rovers here, but when the story came out that he was even training with them, it caused a bit of a storm for the case that Niall references in Scotland was ongoing. He was turning up training every day, giving his best, but the baggage,
they couldn't
the
take
baggage
on the,
was too great.
Yeah, they couldn't take on the risk of that, particularly in the time we live. Final and very quick question then, Dan, which kind of comes from that. If you were writing the book of Anthony Stokes, what will he be remembered as? A footballer who perhaps didn't reach the heights that he should have, or a criminal?
That's a good question. I'm conscious that, like, Niall has talked about some very serious things there, and I think for people who have been on the wrong side of these episodes, like, you know, to almost talk in sympathetic terms, you're conscious of that striking the wrong tone completely. But what I would say is you meet a lot of footballers at a certain stage who you realise that they've never really known normality. Like, did that from the age of sort of, you know, 14, 15, like, they've been thrust into a world where they have hangers-on, this entourage that comes with them. And as they get older, you know, some people come to terms with it, some people don't. They make bad decisions, they make worse decisions, and it exacerbates, and sometimes their personalities don't develop in the way that they should. Their responsibilities don't develop in the way, their sense of knowing what's right and wrong. And that's not to give them a pass. You know, I know people who know Anthony Stoke who'd have good time for him, but that doesn't excuse, like, this rap sheet which is stacking up. To answer your question, I think it's always going to be a bit of both, because let's be honest, if he wasn't the footballer, some of these exploits wouldn't be making headlines at all. And to me, behind it all, it's just a sad story, I think.
And thanks to Dan McDonnell and Niall Donald for joining me today. I'm Kevin Doyle, and today's episode was produced by Mary Carroll, research by Tabitha Monaghan, with sound design by Graham Davison. Archive clips were from RTE News, RTE Sport, BBC Sport, BBC Scotland, the Premier League and independent.ie. If you want to hear more of our award-winning journalism, you can visit independent.ie or wherever you get your podcasts.